The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by IBM Watson, combining AI with Internet of Things data to help growers increase yields, improve quality, and drive sustainability. Livestock markets are bracing for an updated snout count from USDA. And the grain markets basically remain in a waiting game ahead of tomorrow's grain stocks and acreage reports. The radar, it looks clear in the Eastern Belt right now, but there is an organized, very organized line of storms moving through Minnesota.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Tanner Emke from CoBank. Then we've got Representative G.G. Thompson. And right after the news, Greg Henderson from Grover's updates us on the world of beef. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
Hey, Davis, and in the final segment today, it's you and me.
That's right.
We're going to be talking about the expectations for the quarterly hogs and pigs report that is out at 2 o'clock Central Time this afternoon. So, That final segment it can be a free for all. We can get through the expectations fairly quickly.
Okay.
So let's make it a free for all. Give us a call in that final segment. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about as long as it relates to agriculture and the issues that impact agriculture. 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. Just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message before you send that. That way I'll be sure to see it. How are you today, bud?
I'm doing really well. As I was writing the news this morning, kind of putting it together, there are some threads that are just so many stories are just so intertwined with one another. It's very interesting.
Yeah. You know, and I picked out Minnesota specifically when I said that there's that line of organized storms rolling across. Well, northwest Iowa, you got to include that in there as well. And they're just moving out of southeast South Dakota. There's a band of showers. It's breaking up right now, but there have been some showers in eastern North Dakota as well. I think those guys up in North Dakota aren't going to say no to the rains that they're getting right now. So, everybody else has kind of got the attitude of, these could hold off for a little bit longer. And I loved the comment yesterday, I think it was, let's just put a little bit more time between the rain showers.
Right.
We don't want the rains to end, but let's put a little more time between them.
Boy, so. And some of these, I've got the weather map pulled up here. Some of this looks like it could be just a touch severe.
In some cases it's not a touch severe. There are some winds and some hail involved in that system that's moving from northwest Iowa up into central Minnesota and moving. I think it's moving a little bit to the northeast. I think we're going to be safe from it here in northeast Iowa before everything is said and done.
All right,
what's in the news?
Well, Chip, optimism regarding President Trump's scheduled meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping was tempered as Trump arrived in Osaka, Japan for this week's G20 summit. But as the two leaders readied their thoughts, contentious issues once again arose. President Xi has prepared a list of preconditions that China will require be satisfied before a final deal can be reached. According to the Wall Street Journal, some of those key items include lifting the ban on Huawei technology in the U.S., eliminating all punitive tariffs, and setting aside demands China increase purchases of U.S. ag export goods. Watchers predict a long, protracted period of time before an agreement can be reached. Now, Chip, this is something I've noted before. I've written about it for Landowner in some detail. We've talked about it. But interestingly, the ag community continues to lean in favor of Trump's strategy. Creighton University just put out its June Rural Main Street Index, which moved above growth neutral, and 69.4% of bankers surveyed support either raising or continuing current tariffs. As President Trump's Xi and Meet, both are taking hard lines and both carry with them the support of their constituents. Dude, there's a wide divide here, and that last 10 yards just seems to get wider.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I want to call... You know me, I'm going to look at things a little more optimistically than others. Always have. Now, I don't know if knowing what the Chinese want means that the talks are more contentious or not. Now that we know what they want, at least we can negotiate around that. I wonder if we even knew that they wanted to back off on that promise to purchase more I don't know if and we know that we knew that they wanted to lift the tariffs. And of course, Huawei is going to be an issue that we're going to deal with going forward. But at least we know what we're dealing with now. We'll talk to Tanner more about that in a bit.
You bet. Well, and speaking of the Creighton University Rural Main Street Index, Ernie Goss said, quote, higher agriculture commodity prices and rebuilding from recent floods boosted the Rural Main Street Index for the month. The monthly survey of bank CEOs in 10 states resulted in a reading of 53.2 for the month, up from May's 48.5. That's above growth neutral, taken as a good economic sign. The farmland and ranchland price index rose, as did the farm equipment sales index, although both of those benchmarks remain slightly below growth neutral.
You know, I wonder if you'd lay that Main Street Index over a corn chart of how much correlation there would be.
I bet there'd be a fair amount right there.
I bet there would be.
Iran's Ayatollah has labeled pressure from the United States, quote, obvious tyranny, calling Washington the most hated evil government in the world. European nations, including France, Britain, and Germany, meanwhile, are working to keep economic ties with Iran alive, extending a line of credit to Iran. And quickly, easy now, Chip, a group of nine GOP senators have raised their voices in opposition to curtailing small refinery waivers under the renewable fuels standard. This in response to a letter from 12 Democratic senators who have called on EPA to end its use of small refinery exemptions. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, urged President Trump and the EPA to, quote, stand with the hardworking men and women of small refineries across the country and block Senate Democrats' attempts to roll back President Trump's energy independence accomplishments. Republican Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania added, EPA and the courts have made it clear that waivers must be issued to refineries suffering severe economic harm from the ill-conceived corn ethanol mandate. Yeah. Sorry to end it there, buddy, but we can talk about that more later.
They're gonna, you know, they're trying to watch out for the people that they represent, too.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. All right. Thanks, Davis.
You bet.
Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. I threw you for a loop there, Davis, didn't I, when I said that?
Just a little bit. I thought you were going to freak out.
Greg Henderson, how are you today, buddy?
I'm great, Chip. Good morning.
Good, good, good. I said, you know, we could probably lay the Main Street Index over a corn chart and see some correlation. Well, the corn price is also having an impact on the cattle guys that you cover, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Cowboys are always concerned when grain prices move higher. And the first assumption we make is that cattle carcass weights are going to drop. Right. And the last three times that the corn market has seen an increase of 15% or more, the reverse is true. In other words, carcass weights actually went up. And so just for example, in 2011 and 2012, average corn price about $6.22, and it was year over year 20% higher. Carcass weights went up 2%. So the reason for that is that we're placing cattle on feed at heavier weights, and we leave them on forage and grasses longer. Feed yards want to shorten the time on feed, so they place them heavier, and they end up being heavier when they're slaughtered. So the takeaway here for cow-calf producers is there's going to be a premium. All indications are there's going to be a premium for heavier feeders versus lighter weight calves this fall. So you might want to think about working towards that and playing that card to your advantage.
Yep. Work those calves over. Make sure they're in good shape. They got their vaccinations and everything that they need and got their frame built on grass so that when they hit that corn, they're ready to fly.
Absolutely. Long-weaned calves are gonna be at a premium. Now it's time to plan.
That's right. Thanks, Greg. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Chip.
That's Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. We got Tanner Amke from CoBank up next. With recent advancements in technology and more usable data being created than ever before, the future is bright for agriculture. The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture collects hyperlocal Internet of Things data to create an electronic field record that is deliverable on a scalable, security-rich cloud platform. The solution applies AI and predictive analytics to this data to generate actionable, field-specific insights that food companies, grain processors, produce distributors, and farmers can use to help improve crop management. At IBM, we help agribusinesses accelerate their journey to cloud and transform into cognitive enterprises by combining Watson AI with accurate weather and farm data to help growers around the world make better decisions about preseason planning, plowing, planting, spraying, and harvesting. To learn more, visit ibm.biz/agriculture. Let's have a conversation with Nick Hammett, Marketing Manager for Circle A Ranch. Nick, tell me about Circle A.
Circle A Angus started in 1990, headquartered here in Iberia, Missouri. We've grown to a little over 30,000 acres in three locations. Altogether, we're about 7,000 mother cows. We run about a 5,000 head feedlot operation at our Huntsville location. So Circle A is a little unique in that for the past 10 years, we've been creating and breeding a quarter blood Wagyu into our Angus cattle.
Why Wagyu, and what has been that sweet spot in terms of percentage Wagyu in your breeding operation?
For us, really, the ultimate eating experience has found to be a quarter blood Wagyu.
How does your herd health program tie into your overall goals?
Herd health is far and away the biggest profit driver in the calves that we purchase back into our feedlot. We know that with our genetics, our calves are going to grade well. We know they're going to gain well. It's a matter of whether they stay healthy as to whether or not we're going to make a profit on those calves.
Nick, how has Merck Animal Health helped advance your herd health protocols?
Merck has played a major role in helping advance our herd health protocols. They've really gone above and beyond just saying we have a good product into proving they have a good product, which has helped us not only on our operation, but for the calves that we buy from our customers.
How else have you worked with Merck Animal Health?
Merck has long been known for having the best implant products available in the market, but those extra days on feed required a little different implant protocol than what we were used to. Merck was willing and able to bring in their experts to set up an implant protocol specifically designed for our needs. They were also willing to bring in their sales force, sit down with our processing crew, and ensure that we were correctly applying those products into our cattle so that we were getting maximum return on our investment.
Thanks, Nick. Learn more at mahcattle.com or talk to your Merck Animal Health representative.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. How are you today,
yeah,
bud?
I'm really good.
Good.
You seem to be in a really good mood. You know, usually I can set you off pretty easy with SRE talk. But here you've taken a very diplomatic tone. I appreciate that, brother. I needed that, you know? Thank you for that.
All right. Well, I think one thing that's happening is the grain markets have kind of gone into a holding pattern, waiting for the G20 meeting, waiting for the Trump-Xi meeting, waiting for the acreage report, the quarterly grain stocks report, and updated weather forecasts. They're just kind of in a holding pattern right now. And I'm telling you, anytime that we're going to hold the new crop corn contract in a holding pattern around $4.50 this year, It kind of puts me in a pretty good mood.
It puts our beloved host in a holding pattern as well.
There you go. Very nice.
Very nice.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's bring in Tanner Emke. Tanner is the manager of CoBank's Knowledge Exchange Division. He joins us right now. Tanner, welcome back. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Chip.
You bet. So, G20 meeting. Let's start there because it feels like there is a lot riding on this meeting, not only regarding the U.S. and China trade relations, but the economic outlook and what the G20 nations are going to do to work together to keep this global economy moving forward. A lot riding on the end of this week.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot riding on, especially the lunch that Trump and Xi Jinping are scheduled to have on Saturday and what kind of negotiation they can come out with. The expectations really at this point, after negotiations have been stalled for so long, the expectations are kind of low. Really, hopefully, they just can get negotiations back started again. And there's a lot of political pressure on Xi Jinping to show that he's standing up to the U.S. He's going to be sending Trump a list of preconditions on what he wants out of the talks. So already we're at that point of the conversation that where they're just trying to just get the conversation started. They both want to show strength, and that means no one wants to give too much. So really, hopefully, you get the conversation started again, and we get some of the business climate really globally would improve once we have some sort of movement on the negotiations, because it's really starting to hurt everybody. When the two biggest economies in the world are in a trade fight,
yes,
it really starts to drag on everybody. The Chinese economy starts to slow down. And let's say, for instance, you're Germany, okay, and you're exporting cars over to China. What's happening to your exports? Well, you're going to be suffering also. So globally, this is really having an impact. And that's one of our concerns, is that if we don't start getting some momentum this weekend, things could escalate even more, and that would not be good for the world economy.
Right. So when we take a look at what's going on there, it's like I said to Davis at the start of the show, I would rather know what those preconditions are going into the conversation between Trump and Xi. I mean, to me, knowing what China is looking for is a good thing.
Yeah, he's on the table right now is the ban on Huawei technology. Huawei, right, of course, is the shining star of technology of tech companies in China, and we buy a lot of their technology here in the U.S. And they're going to want that lifted. They're probably going to want the ban or the punitive tariffs, the 25% levies on the $250 billion of imports that we have on China. They're going to want that lifted. They're going to want us to drop the demands on China buying more U.S. exports. Mm-hmm. So these demands probably aren't going to be small. As it is in negotiations, if you want 50, ask for 100. And so that's probably where China is going to come from.
Gotcha. What's the best case scenario coming out of the conversation between President Trump and Xi?
I think the best case scenario right now, after having stalled conversations for so long and having things escalated, really, let's just lower the bar and hope they can begin talking again, and ideally set a deadline to say, we're going to have a negotiation done by such and such date.
Yep.
Now, that would be ideal. But put yourself in China's shoes. And last night, we had the first Democratic presidential debates. And they see the ball rolling right now in the presidential election. And there's a chance, maybe, maybe not, Trump may be president or may not be president in 18 months.
Right.
That is a new dynamic now in the conversation. And so how does that affect things? Does that motivate China to get a deal done, or does it want to make them sit on their hands and wait for potentially a new president? That would be a big gamble on their part. So ideally what we see out of this meeting on Saturday is a deadline to get negotiations done.
Right. You know, I think you need to update your language here just a little bit, Tanner, because in farm country, we call these debates, we call them sorting and culling. Not just
right. When you get over 20 presidential candidates, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it takes a vocabulary update sometimes. It was it was interesting watching it last night. I kept looking for somebody to break away from it.
Yeah.
From the debate moderators or the pen operators, it looked to me like there was a little bit of a focus on Senator Warren. Maybe they showed just a touch of favoritism towards Warren, but generally speaking, I don't know if anybody really stepped out. We'll find out what happens in round two.
Now we got round two yet to go, so that's right. We're not done yet even.
That's right. What about your what is CoBank seeing from the ag economy right now? Any bright spots out there?
Well, I mean, there are some bright spots, believe it or not. I mean, it's been talked about quite a bit, the record rainfall that we've had and all the planting delays and all those issues it's caused. But out of the bright side of that, though, is if you've got pasture, you've got some green pastures right now with all this record rainfall. And so if you're, that's going to be a positive for the livestock industry right now. It's, livestock producers going to have some pretty good feeding conditions going forward. The downside, though, is feeding costs because of the record rainfall may be going up later this fall if we don't get that corn crop that we were hoping for. So that would be the downside. But the silver lining is that on the livestock end of things with some pretty nice feeding conditions currently.
Right.
And then, really, it's hard to find anything positive to talk about right now, all these black swans that kind of just show up all at once with record rainfall, the trade wars, you got African swine fever, all these things kind of culminating at once creates this really vast uncertainty in agriculture. So it's one of those things that hopefully this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience to see all these things happening at once.
Right. Right. And then the other thing that adds some uncertainty into the economic outlook for us here in the middle of the Corn Belt is that ethanol outlook, right?
Right. And we're going to be coming out with our ethanol outlook report next week by Dr. Will Sawyer. He's our grains economist on staff here at CoBank. And, right now ethanol is suffering. When you're trying to sell $1.50 gas, or excuse me, ethanol, and you've got rising corn prices, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get pinched on this, especially in those parts of the Corn Belt where you may have corn deficit areas. And just look at what basis is doing across the country. I mean, you've got 60 over the board in Ohio and 50 under the board in, say, like South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Well, that is a huge spread in corn prices. That just illustrates the variability of corn out there and the fear that some regions may not have the corn they need to continue operations. And so right now margins are fairly slim across the ethanol industry. If you're in an area where you're going to be corn deficit, things are going to be pretty rough later this fall.
Right.
And so
right.
We're seeing that right now. Ethanol plants are bidding up, trying to get corn supplies right now. And it's not just ethanol end users. It's other end users like feedlots, or if you're feeding hogs or poultry or anything like that, they're also in competition for what may be very scarce corn supplies in local regions. So that's one thing that we're concerned about later on in the year is that we see a very slim margin environment turn into a very red margin environment later this year.
Very good. It is always fascinating to watch the cash market, whether it be a cash corn market, cash hog, cash cattle, hog, whatever. Kick it into high gear and really sort out the issues. And when you've got a $1.10 spread in basis from the Western Belt to the Eastern Belt, that's the cash market working overtime to put product where it needs to be. Tanner, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Chip.
In this industry, your name is everything. It's the legacy you fight to live up to and work to leave behind. Merck Animal Health brands have a 50-year history of providing the products cattle need to stay healthy. With innovation, passion, and integrity, we'll do what's right for your operation and for you. This is why Merck Animal Health works. Visit MAHcattle.com to see how Merck Animal Health can work for you.
Not in the market for a new planter, but looking to get better performance next season? Bring your trusted John Deere planter up to speed with our ExactEmerge upgrade kit. Hit the ground running without compromising singulation, population, spacing, or uniform depth. And now through July 15th, you can save 12% off the ExactEmerge and individual row.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor, Pro Farmer senior market analyst Jeff Wilson. Jeff, how you doing today, bud?
Good morning, Chip. Pretty good. Just like everybody else, waiting for tomorrow's reports.
Yeah, it really looks like that's what the markets are doing in here, right? I mean, this corn market right now, the corn market right now is trading mostly, you know, 2-3 cents lower, and it feels like it's really in a waiting game, just trying to get to tomorrow's USDA reports.
We also have First Notice Day tomorrow, so, you know, that always leads to a lot of positioning in here, so could be some spread activity. And, of course, as you were talking with Tanner before about the, you know, the meetings in Japan between Xi and Trump, I think the fact that the Chinese are talking about wanting to make sure that they get their way and they may wait this thing out, it's cast a little bit of a negative tone over the markets. Not that the grain markets were thinking anything positive anyway, but we're just waiting here. It's a big waiting game. I will say, though, the cash markets are firm for both corn and beans, and the cash markets might be telling us more than what the futures are telling us today.
Yeah, very good. It is fascinating to watch the cash market do what it really has to do. Got the Hogs and Pigs report out this afternoon.
Right. We're looking for about a 3% gain in the all hogs and pigs category. The fact that we've been killing 10% more than what we thought we were going to be killing, or 10% more than a year ago when we thought it'd be only like 2 or 3%, suggests that there's going to be revisions and the numbers going forward could be even higher than what the anticipation is. So market's under a little bit of pressure today, but it's holding its own. It's already, I think, anticipated a lot of that negative news.
Exactly. Exactly, Jeff. I think the revisions are going to be just as interesting as the new numbers that we get. Thank you very much.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for, only on MachineryPete.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory.
Hey,
yeah. Yeah,
I think it's prudent for me to just point out that opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect those of the affiliate stations, Farm Journal Broadcast, or our sponsors.
Very good. And I should probably point out that if you're looking for a used piece of equipment, head on over to MachineryPete.com.
Yeah.
And that'll take you right where you need to be. All right. Good work, Davis.
Good work, good Chip.
Okay. Let's have a conversation with Congressman Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. Congressman, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Chip, it is great to talk with you. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing real well, real well. It is a beautiful day out here in northeast Iowa, and you can almost hear the corn growing on a day like today, sir.
I'll bet, too. But it's nice to maybe get a little bit of that sunshine to dry up some of that wetness.
Exactly, exactly. We need more of it across the Corn Belt. Congressman Thompson, the last time that you were on, which, by the way, was just ahead of Memorial Day, we talked about USDA getting ready to announce another round of MFP payments. We know that there's going to be a payment, that there is the market facilitation program, but we still don't know what the plan is and what the payment rates are. And I know that you're very concerned about the financial well-being of the ag industry. What is the status on these MFPs?
Well, you know, my impression is, and quite frankly, I don't have any more intel than what you do, other than I know having talked through different hearings and reaching out to the department, you know, they recognize you know, the vulnerability of what I think is one of our most important industries, agriculture. It's it provides us food security, and that results in national security, and it's an industry that's very vulnerable to both weather and, quite frankly, to conflicts in trade. And so I know the commitment that's out there in terms of these payments to be able to assist our farmers who are caught up with in the whole use of tariffs as a tool to be able to bring about trade agreements that are not just free but are fair. I find most of my farmers I talk with are still standing behind the president. They understand that they appreciate the fact that he respects and values agriculture in rural America. At the same time, I think we're all anxious to see this resolved. We're anxious to see USMCA, which is ready to be approved in the House. We just need Speaker Pelosi to bring it to the floor. I'm confident that the votes would be there for it, and we need to be some successes with obviously, with China, who's kind of the 900-pound gorilla when it comes to trade and abusive practices. And I'm optimistic with the meetings that are going on right now that hopefully we'll see some progress on that. Yeah. But these payments are incredibly important in the meantime.
Right, right. Yeah, what you said about farm and farmer support for President Trump's efforts on the trade front, I felt like President Trump was losing some support from farm country for a while. This round of payments was announced. Nobody wants the payments. Everybody would love to get their revenue from the marketplace in a freer and fairer trade environment. And I think the attitude is, okay, this is going to help us get through this. And we're this far into it. Don't back off now, Mr. President. Get it done and get it done right.
Yeah, I amen to that. The by and large, I think in farm country, in rural America, which is quite frankly a huge geographic part of this country, those farm families are standing behind the president. I think part of it is just the fact that we know that where we're from, you know, you get up every day, you get up early, you work hard, you take risks, and as farmers, they know what it takes, and they know that sometimes it takes well to for the crops to grow and to yield that harvest. And so I think because of that, that's really the attitude we've never had when it's come to trade. And in the past, whether it's been presence of both parties in control, they would just fold at some point when the media or someone would begin to criticize them. The president's in it for the long haul, and President Trump, I think he's going to get there. I've had personal discussions with him on tariffs. He doesn't like tariffs, but he knows that tariffs are the only tool that you have when it comes to either negotiating a great trade agreement for America or fixing one that's been really bad for America.
Okay. 27 freshman Democrat representatives are telling the U.S. Trade Representative's office that they're not going to back USMCA until country of origin labeling on meat. I've got to believe, I would guess, Congressman, that Some, if not all, of these 27 freshman Democrat representatives don't know that the WTO, the World Trade Organization, has ruled against Kuhl multiple times.
I would guess that that's probably the fact that, you know, quite frankly, I'm amazed sometimes positions people take that are completely contrary to the science and the facts. It sometimes it seems like with some of my colleagues, facts don't matter. And the fact is that they do.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that this is going to be much of a roadblock to passage of USMCA. I believe exactly what you said, Congressman, that if we can get Speaker Pelosi to bring it to the floor for a vote, that it's going to pass the House. Last week, it was a fascinating hearing that you had on some of the misuse, some of the abuse, some of the fraud that is going on with the nutrition program, SNAP in particular. And the Minnesota millionaire came in and really seemed to make a point that, listen, we need to make some changes on how the SNAP program is run.
Yeah, those changes are long overdue. That's something, you know, this last term I served as vice chair of the full committee and as chairman of the House Nutrition Committee, and it was one of the four pillars that I worked on was integrity of the SNAP program, what we used to call food stamps, and SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. It is a righteous program, if done correctly, because it helps our neighbors in need. I happen to think that's a rural value. It may be an urban value, too. I've just never lived in urban America. you know, and the SNAP program are for those folks who are struggling financially. And usually in a temporary state because of bad luck or bad decisions until they are able to get back on their feet financially with a job or a better job. And the integrity of that program is absolutely critical because for every dollar that somebody, whether it's a state or an individual that inappropriately utilizes that they should not have, that's basically taking a dollar's worth of nutrition out of the mouth of a poor family. And so I was very pleased with the reports on that subcommittee hearing, and you know, some of the information that came out about the consultant from South Dakota who basically was teaching states on how to game the SNAP program for better bonuses was just appalling. Glad to see that. You know, consistent with the reforms that we put into the 2018 Farm Bill and specifically the nutrition title that I had responsibility for in the House side, that it's working, that somebody's being held accountable and there is punishment pending, I understand.
Mm-hmm. What's the environment in the House Ag Committee now? Is it one that they are willing to listen to the need for change, or is it just this is a right and we're going to maintain it the way it is?
Well, the House Agriculture Committee has always had a reputation for good bipartisan work.
Yes.
And I think that to a large extent continues today. Colin Peterson, Chairman Peterson, the Democrats are in the majority, and so Mr. Peterson is once again chairman of the committee. And he's a gentleman that I work closely with. I consider him a friend. We do a lot of bipartisan bills together. And so I think that by and large, we continue to have a great farm team, is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
For the American people, serving farm families, but serving every family, you know, to make sure that we have affordable, high-quality, safe food, but also that we have a robust rural America.
Yep.
And that's important because without that, as I probably have said before, Chip, and told you my belief that without a robust rural America, every American wakes up in the cold, dark, and hungry because of what rural America provides. And so I think that there's still great potential for getting work. Now, I'm concerned with whatever we do in the committee, when it goes over to a House, it seems the full chamber and the majority party that appears to be, unfortunately, controlled by, folks who are self-declared socialists today.
Mm-hmm.
That part is very disconcerting for me.
They're very loud. They make a lot of noise. I've only got about a minute left here, Congressman, but what's at the top of your priority list right now?
Well, right now we're working on top of my priority list is restoring whole milk in our schools.
I saw your picture on Twitter. That was awesome.
To see that. You know, yeah. I don't watch the Game of Thrones. I was told afterwards that somehow the people that like Game of Thrones like my shirt also, because there's some character that wears a shirt that says I drink and I know things. I thought it was an original saying. Right. The T-shirt said I drink whole milk and I know things.
Very good. Congressman, we're going to have to go. Thank you so much for making time for us today. Really appreciate it.
Chip, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Congressman G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. We're going to be back with more AgriTalk here in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
In the world of cattle vaccines, when you see fewer reactions, you'll notice healthier cattle and higher profits too. Because sometimes good protection is about what you don't see. Protect your productivity with cattle vaccines from Merck Animal Health. Proven to cause fewer reactions. You'll like what you see. Our trusted portfolio is just one more way Merck Animal Health works for you. Talk to your veterinarian and visit CattleFriendlyVaccines.com to learn more.
Use Radiate to give back to your crop's roots and pay it forward for generations to come. Radiate is the only root stimulant that can drive maximum root growth in all crops while growing the roots of all the young future farmers of America across the country. By using Radiate on your farm, you're helping Nutrien Ag Solutions give back to FFA and give back to the roots our crops and communities are built on. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant for details about Radiate's give back program or learn more at RadiateRoots.com. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
Let's go to Miller, Missouri, and have a conversation with Travis Merrick from Glionda Angus Farms. Travis, tell me about Glionda Angus Farms and what makes you unique.
Glionda Angus Farms has been in the family for about 50 years with a focus on carcass quality, feed efficiency, and maternal performance. We have about 300 cows. We sell 50 to 60 bulls a year. Our biggest thing we do here is we retain ownership on our cattle to collect as much data as possible, and herd health is probably our most important thing we focus on.
Yeah, okay, herd health and collecting that data, it's got to be done electronically. And it's so important to your operation. What kind of protocols do you have in place to set cattle up for success in the feedlot?
Biggest thing here is our vaccination protocols. We use our veterinarian. We work very closely with Merck Animal Health. We switched to them the last couple of years because we were not satisfied in our overall herd health program, and we're seeing a very good increase in our herd health since then.
That's fantastic, Travis. Sounds like you found a program that really works for you. What goes into that program?
We start our calves when they are 3 months old. They're vaccinated with Nasalgen Intranasal to increase protection against pneumonia. Prior to weaning, they get Vista once to help with the respiratory, and then post-weaning, we get Vista 5. The reason that we put so much time into our herd health program is that obviously sick cattle don't grade as well. We've prided ourselves on having quality carcasses, and over the last 3 years, we've graded 99.5% choice and prime, with 2019 being our first year that we've ever graded 100% choice and prime.
Boy, what a testament right there to what animal health means to the performance in the feed yard. Hey, it sounds like you keep busy off the farm as well with the involvement in the Missouri Cattlemen's Association. Why is that important to you, Travis?
It's important to me because we need to get as many younger producers to get involved in our industry and get the next generation set up for success.
Man, you're leading the way. Thank you so much, Travis. That is Travis Merrick with Glionda Angus Farms down in Millen, Missouri. To learn more about vaccination strategies at weaning, talk to your Merck Animal Health representative and visit mahcattle.com.
Radiate is designed to help crops build longer, stronger, healthier root systems. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go to RadiateRoots.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis, have you seen that Radiate? I don't know, but I just heard that it helps make for longer, stronger, healthier root systems.
I heard that somewhere. If you get in touch with Nutrien Ag Solutions, it's a good way to find out more. Have I got that really? Right?
Yeah. I think so.
Radiate Roots. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. And welcome back. Great conversation there with Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Thompson from Pennsylvania. The nutrition has always... I try to study the guys that are willing to come on AgriTalk on a regular basis. I'm trying to study and understand them more and more.
Well, I think that's wise.
Yeah. Thank you. And his dedication to improving the nutrition programs, whether it be through SNAP, the old food stamp program, or through the school lunch program, it's really pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
He's very committed to it. And the push to get whole milk back into the school system that he is on right now is just more evidence of that.
We had vitamin D when I was a kid, and then after a while, you know, we switched to skim, which I about just couldn't deal with. It's not for me. Right. Well, I'm a 2% guy these days, but man, I do love a big old frosty glass of whole milk.
Hey, darn right. At the start of the show, we were talking a little bit about what I am calling the sorting and culling process of the Democrat presidential candidate debates. And I said that no one really made an impression on me.
Yeah.
You know, making that comment has been kicking around in the back of my head.
Okay.
Through the entire show, because I was lying, and not saying, not necessarily lying. I was just not being 100% honest, and I don't like that. And it bugged me. Congresswoman Gabbard, I think she really stood out to me.
Yeah.
I think it's because I think there's a couple of reasons why she stood out to me. Number one, I didn't know much about her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I feel like she did a really nice job of introducing herself to people like me that were watching to learn more about the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like she really did that. And then her comments about the troops and her commitments to the troops.
Yep.
And her service herself, the service that she has given to the country. I think that also left an impression on me. But, you know, I felt stupid after saying that nobody really left an impression on me after, you know, back in the first segment of this morning's show, when Congressman Gabbard did. She really did leave an impression on me.
Currently serving as a U.S. representative for Hawaii's second congressional district. Yeah. Been there since 2013.
Right. So I obviously do not agree with some of her economic stance. But boy, her stance with the troops, I can be standing right next to her all day long.
Yep.
All right, we got the Hogs and Pigs report coming up this afternoon, 2 o'clock Central Time. Now, the reason that this one is so important, in my opinion, is because when you look at, you know, we get the March 1 quarterly March 1 Hogs and Pigs report, and then the June 1 Hogs and Pigs report. And when you go back to that March 1 Hogs and Pigs report, for the first 2 months following that report, in other words, April and May, everything kind of lined up okay. Slaughter was running about 1% over a year ago levels, lining up with what we saw in that March 1 Hogs and Pigs report. And then we get to the end of May, and slaughter just kicked it in gear. The last 2 weeks, we have seen a slaughter pace of 9.9% above a year ago, and last week was 13.2% above a year ago. The 2 weeks from Memorial Day, you know, we've been running 8-9% at minimum for a month now above year ago. That certainly suggests to me that we're going to see some revisions to past numbers. Okay. And just backtrack to the ASF announcement coming out of China and a fall and winter pig crop. You get that winter pig crop. You get everybody all excited about, oh, we're going to see all kinds of pork demand coming in. You get that pig crop 5 months later. Here we are killing a bunch of hogs through the month of June and killing way more than expected through the month of June. So I think there's going to be some revisions to those past numbers. All hogs and pigs on June 1 expected up 3%, and that's after the revisions.
Okay.
So net-net. Revisions plus change, you may be looking at something closer to a 4 or 5% increase over the inventory that was indicated back on March 1. Kept for breeding herd up 2.1% is the average trade guess. The kept for marketing number up 3.1%. When you look at the breakdown of the market hog inventory, the heavyweight hogs, the over 180-pound hogs, which are mostly into many of them are into the processing already, up 4.6%. The hogs that are coming right now, the 120 to 179s, 103.2% of year ago, 50 to 119 pounders, 102.8, and the under 50 pounders, 102.6. So as you can see, there is a widespread general expectation that the market hog inventory is going up. Then the farrowings March through May, 101.7% of year ago, and then the intentions, the forward-looking numbers. June, August, farrowings, intentions up 1.3% from year ago, and the September, November up 2.1% from year ago. So widespread expectations, Davis, that we're going to see bigger numbers. And I think a lot of it has had to do with the excitement, the anticipation that China is going to be here to buy more pork in the future.
Well, and I've got a press release here from the Pork Checkoff, and they quote Pen Chenjun, a senior analyst from Rabobank, saying Chinese farmers have yet to heed authorities' calls to replenish their herds as they are worried they could lose their stock again due to the disease. In theory, it requires 2 to 3 years to have a recovery of stock.
Right.
But other countries have taken at least 5 years. And the number one way it's being transmitted, virus carried on vehicles and workers without disinfection. Interesting.
No good.
No good at all.
No good at all right there. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. Really appreciate that. Thank you to...
Operators can fight insects and store grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
Not in the market for a new planter, but looking to get better performance next season? Bring your trusted John Deere planter up to speed with our ExactEmerge upgrade kit. Hit the ground running without compromising singulation, population, spacing, or uniform depth.
And now through July 15th, you can save 12% off the Exact Emerge and individual row hydraulic downforce upgrade kits. Visit your John Deere dealer today.
The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, leveraging unique data, analytics, and predictive insights to help growers make more informed, confident decisions.